Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig has issued two major decisions. First, that Major League Baseball will not celebrate Barry Bonds' 715th home run. Selig explained that the record is Hank Aaron's 755 and that there's no reason to mark second place, even when that means passing the hallowed total amassed by Babe Ruth. There's widespread suspicion that Selig is reluctant to honor a man just as widely suspected of illegal steroid use and reportedly the subject of a federal perjury investigation. Then, yesterday, Selig announced the sale of the Washington Nationals, one of the worst teams in the game, for $450 million. If you have questions about either of these decisions, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Our baseball pal, Alan Schwartz, joins us now from his home in New York. He's a senior writer for Baseball America. Always nice to have you on the program, Alan.
Well, thank you for having me, Neil.
And let's begin with Barry Bonds and the notion that if anybody else was about to pass Babe Ruth, the game would be more than thrilled to celebrate one of its biggest stars.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that they don't usually celebrate people moving into second place. And yes, it's Babe Ruth, and yes, that carries all sorts of connotations, and there are a lot of question marks having to do with Barry Bonds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still just second place. And the person who holds second place, you know, he's also been dead for 58 years.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I just think we have to maintain a little perspective here, and you know, we don't need to celebrate when someone moves into second place, no matter who he's passing.
Yeah, we don't need to, but I'm just suggesting that if this were, anybody else at this point other than Barry Bonds, they would take the opportunity to say this is one of our greatest stars, let's celebrate.
Well, I don't know what that celebration would necessarily entail. I mean, it's certainly not going to be fireworks and stopping the game necessarily and making a big fuss like they did back when Mark McGwire hit his 62nd home run.
Right.
And I was also there the night that Barry Bonds hit his 71st home run against the Dodgers in 2001, and that was when you were breaking a record.
Mm-hmm.
He's not breaking a record. And look, are they getting a convenient reason here to not do anything? Yes, but I don't think we should therefore overestimate what they might have done had it been somebody else.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we do need to remember, though, is that 714 mark, obviously not 755, which, of course, is the record, but it's something that baseball conjured with. I think probably more baseball fans know the 714 number than know 755.
Well, I think it's important to realize why they know that. They certainly don't know it because they were there in 1935 when Babe Ruth hit his last three home runs,
mm-hmm.
to have 714. They know about it in large part because of the ordeal that Hank Aaron went through in the early 70s, and specifically before he broke the record in 1974, when passing the legendary Babe Ruth, a white man, okay,
mm-hmm.
that had a lot to do with it, of course.
Sure.
The racist letters and the death threats and just the incredible, just hounding unpleasantness that he had the temerity to break Babe Ruth's record, not unlike what Roger Maris went through, but Roger Maris had the convenience of being white, and Hank Aaron did not. And so he had just this extra ordeal to have to go through. And so we all learned, I mean, I didn't, I wasn't following baseball at the time, but we all learned how important the number 714 was because it belonged to Babe Ruth.
Hmm.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter as much anymore because it's not the record.
Hmm.
And we remember 714 in large part for reasons that we should really, as a culture, be ashamed of, not necessarily celebratory of.
There was also the drama of Hank Aaron being right on the cusp of breaking the mark until at the end of one season, so waiting all winter long to see if he would do it, when he would do it the next season. Of course, just a matter of time. Anyway, let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. This is Kelly. Kelly's on the line with us from Mixa, Missouri.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good.
Hey, I just wanted to comment that I believe that Barry Bonds should be suspended until all of this stuff has cleared his name. I think as he goes for a record with so many allegations that are against him right now, I mean, I realize he's innocent until proven guilty, but I believe this is a little different as we look at this play out.
How is it? If I have a question for you. He's innocent until proven guilty, but we should treat him as guilty anyway?
No, I think that he actually should still be, I think he should be suspended just for the simple fact of his comments towards baseball on that new show that he's on, Bonds on Bonds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Baseball Association has always regulated their people to put baseball in the best light, and there have been many people suspended who haven't done that. And I think just for that purpose he should be. But also as he's climbing towards this record, there's a lot of money being spent, on items that represent him. There's a lot of money that's being invested as he goes towards this title, and I just think that that too many people have their hand in this to where it's fair for them if he later gets stripped from this title or until the allegations have cleared his name.
When David Wells was incredibly critical of Bud Selig in spring training a couple of years ago, did you think he should also be suspended?
Yes, I think they should. I mean, they have not given people a break when they want to criticize umpires. They have not given people a break like Pete Rose. Pete Rose suffered long before he was ever really found guilty of what they said he was guilty of. And it still hasn't really been proven.
Pete Rose admitted it.
Pete Rose admitted it, and B, it was proven to the extent that Bart Giamatti, who was a reasonably fair and educated man, said, you know what, John Dowd's report convinces me beyond not only a reasonable but even unreasonable doubt.
Well,
don't you think Pete Rose don't you think Pete Rose supporters pretty much forfeited their right to defend him and baseball's conduct?
No, not at all.
Lying, he admitted to what they had accused him of in the first place?
In fact, there are many sports writers that do not agree with that comment that you just made, and there are many...
Kelly, I read a lot of sports, and I have not read any of them, so I think we're going to skip the Pete Rose conversation and get back to Barry Bonds. Anyway, appreciate the phone call. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Lee. Lee with us from Detroit.
Hello?
Hi, Lee. You're on the air.
Well, sir, my comment was that I'm not sure of the timing, but as Hank Aaron came into second place, he probably passed Willie Mays, if memory serves.
At 660,
yes. If baseball did not celebrate at that point, they should not celebrate at this point as Barry Bonds passes the Babe.
Okay, Lee.
I would have to say that I'm not even sure he passed Willie Mays because Willie Mays was still active and was
correct. I know he's
73, so it was kind of murky as to who was in second place. I could look it up for you when we get off the air.
All right.
But nonetheless, you know, when the pass was made, if baseball didn't celebrate then, they shouldn't celebrate now.
Thanks for the call, Lee.
Thank you.
And let's bring up that other number that we're conjuring with today, Alan Schwartz. $450 million for a team which is losing plays in a rickety old ballpark here in Washington, D.C., and whose minor league system is bereft of talent.
That's true, but it is one of the 30 members of the collection of Major League Baseball franchises, and as such has its hand in incredible revenue streams, those being the television deals with Fox and ESPN, and also the internet media company, Major League Baseball Advanced Media, which is making money hand over fist. Major League Baseball made an incredible business deal here. It was obvious 4 years ago when it bought, or basically assumed control of the Montreal Expos at the time for $120 million. I don't know the exact numbers. They probably pumped in 50 or 80 in operations over the past couple of years. Call it $200 million total, and they doubled their money and more. In 4 years, it was obvious that they were taking a franchise in a terrible market, in a terrible situation in Montreal, relocating it, and reaping the benefits of that. It was an obvious business play. It was smart. And Selig basically deserves credit for making his fellow owners, now no longer fellow, but nonetheless the owners, a bunch of money.
Let's call on this subject Jeff. Jeff's calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thanks.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in the greater Detroit area in a small town, actually not Ann Arbor, but nearby. I'm shocked that you could get that much money, $450 million for a dog team, and it really sort of supports the idea that I've always been concerned about these municipalities and states underwriting the high salaries that baseball players make because they have some magic lure that ordinary businesses that actually employ ordinary people do not have.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I think Detroit and the state of Michigan a couple years ago put $180 million into reconstructing infrastructure for a Detroit stadium. And any economist would tell you that even though baseball is probably a good industry and it's not standing on its own 2 feet, it's underwritten by hucksters who own these franchises and convince, cajole,
arm twist. We'll supply that for you, Jeff, because we're running out of time. Alan Schwartz, not necessarily the salaries of the players are subsidized, but certainly the ballparks are.
Well, sure, but I think that it's a little... it's making a little too general, a little too much of a generalization to say that these guys are hucksters. I mean, John Henry made a billion on Wall Street. He wasn't a huckster. He was a genius, and he's now the owner of the Red Sox. And I think that, yes, is it honorable for teams to basically extort money out of municipalities in order to get better stadiums? But then again, municipalities can say no, and they have decided that Major League Baseball is valuable enough to them to, you know, basically not educate our children and let them go to the ballpark. That's a societal choice we've made, and so I think we got to be a little careful what we sling around as descriptions of it.
Well, there you go. You know, you're right about that. But when they're on Wall Street, they're not asking for public subsidies. I mean, they're taking chances and producing and rearranging capital. They're not just simply saying, we want you to take some of our costs off the table so that we can make more money. And that, in turn, does, in fact, underwrite the salaries of players. Any economist would tell you that.
All right, Jeff, we're going to give you the last word on all of this because we're out of time. But thanks very much for the phone call.
We're all set. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Alan Schwartz, as always, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Neil. Next time I get the last word.
All right, next time you get the last word. Alan Schwartz, senior writer for Baseball America, author of The Numbers Game, joined us by phone from New York City. Joe Palca will be here as guest host tomorrow on Science Friday. We'll see you Monday. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.